Where's the limit to God's grace? How far does His love extend to cover and forgive you when you've done wrong things in your life? Join Kenneth and Gloria Copeland today for a life-changing message that reveals God's heart on the matter. Next, on The Believer's Voice of Victory.
The Lord began to deal with me back there a few moments ago. You said some things about the forgiveness and the cleansing of what you and I would consider a person that is just off of the charts.
Yeah.
Serial killer. Mm-hmm. Or some kind of situation like that. Or maybe someone that's just a horrible, horrible human being that has just caused the death of tens of thousands of people and that kind of thing. Well, the question then has to be dealt with, where's the limit of grace?
Hmm.
Where does the blood lose its power? How do you deal with that? If the blood is the blood, then it's the blood. If grace is grace, then it's grace.
That's right.
And His mercy endures forever. Now, here's something that, and you said it out of your spirit. You talked about there is someone here that really needs to hear this. All of us need to hear it,
but
somebody here this morning that God is reaching out for. In the 22nd chapter of the book of Acts, the Apostle Paul said in verse 4, I persecuted this way unto death.
Yes, he did.
Binding and delivering into prisons both men and women. I persecuted this way unto death. He was a killer. Now, he comes on down. He's still talking about this. And Jesus, we know what happened then at the on the road. And Jesus said, why are you persecuting me? Well, now, all the Apostle Paul said was, Lord. That's the only word he said. He recognized him as Lord. He didn't even know who he was. Lord, he said, who are you? I'm Jesus, the one you persecute. Well, now, then he comes on down here. I really want you to get into this. It came to pass when I was come again to Jerusalem, even while I prayed in the temple, I was in a trance, or in other words, he stepped off in the spirit. He was more in the spirit than he was in the natural. He was more aware of being in the spirit, in the presence of Jesus, than he was in his natural surroundings. And I saw Jesus saying to me, make haste, get out quickly of Jerusalem, for they will not receive your testimony concerning me. And I said, Lord, they know that I imprisoned and beat in every synagogue them that believed on you. He just confessed in the face of Jesus murder. Didn't he do it?
He did.
I mean, he's in the spirit. He's looking at Jesus right in the face. And he said, they know that I imprisoned and I beat in every synagogue. And he just got through saying, I beat them to death. I caused them to be killed in prisons. I want you to notice how Jesus responded to this. And when the blood of your martyr Stephen was shed, I also was standing by and consenting unto his death, and kept the raiment of them that slew him. And Jesus said to me, depart, for I will send you far hence unto the Gentiles. He didn't even pay any attention to what he said. As far as Jesus was concerned, that old man died on the road to Damascus.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
He didn't even acknowledge that the man said that. He said, get out of here. I'm sending you to the Gentiles.
Wow.
The grace. Yeah, but you're talking about a serial killer. Okay, let's talk about a serial killer.
Oh, I've known several of them, and they were really turned on to God.
Yeah, you and I have known several of them. There was one in the state of Texas that killed 21 women. And he captured one. And that morning before she left the house, she just had a witness in her spirit to go back in the house and get her scripture confession book. She had a little book that had all of her scriptures in there, her healing scriptures and all of that. And she confessed the word of God out of that little book. And so she went back in the house and got it. And that morning, he took her as a hostage and escaped from the law enforcement people that thought they had him trapped. But he was an escape artist, I mean, extraordinaire. So he captured her and took her and her car and got out of there, and they didn't know where he went. And she kept telling him that Jesus loved him and that she loved him. And he said, lady, if you don't shut up, I'll tell you right now. And he threatened her. He said, you don't know who I am. And if I'll tell you right now, if you don't shut up, I'm going to kill you. She said, no, you don't know who I am. And she said, why would you kill the only person that loves you? Well, he just finally got nearly beside himself. He said, woman, I'm telling you, if you don't shut up, I just shut your mouth. She said, if I can't talk, can I listen to my tape? He said, I don't care what you do, just shut up. So she had one of my tapes in a tape player. She just stuck it in there. And they're driving along. He pulls off the side of the road. I'm cutting this short for time. He pulls off the side of the road and stops. And he said, this couldn't be for me. And he turned around and he said, who said that? Who said that? And he looked over in the back seat. Who's in this car? She said, who said what? I didn't hear anything. You didn't hear that? She said, no. He said, somebody said, Stephen, this is your last chance. You better pay attention. She said what she needed. She led him to the Lord. She prayed with him. And she said, now, I can't lie for you. If they come to me, of course, by this time, this has been hours and hours and hours. And boy, they're hunting her and they're all that. And she said, now, I can't lie for you if they come to me. He had her drive him to a bus station there in South Texas. And he wound up, they did come there and get him, took him to San Antonio. He said, I want to be baptized in water. Well, I want Kenneth Copeland to come baptize me in water. Well, somebody called me and said, would you even consider that? I said, well, certainly. So I went to the Bexar County Jail in San Antonio, Texas, and baptized Stephen Moran in water. He and I became friends. And I became his spiritual father. And I ministered to him and began to train him in the Word and talk to him. And he began to study prayer. And he was one of the most brilliant men I've ever met, mentally and intellectually. And we had a lot of different things to take place. And I said all that to tell you this. I was with him the last 30 minutes of his life on earth before they executed him. And he and I talked. I was the last person to visit with him. And I said, Stephen, I want you to do something for me. He said, okay. Oh, let me tell you this, though. Everywhere they put him, he would start a prayer class among death row inmates. The first place where he was, he got everybody on death row born again. Everywhere he went. And I said, Stephen, I want to know, the scripture says, my grace is sufficient. I said, now, there's going to be a moment there right before they start the injection fluids. I want you to let me know, is grace sufficient right before you die? Yeah, he said, I'll let you know. So when they brought him in there, he was strapped. They came down and just after we had sat and he and I prayed together, they came down and said, Stephen, it's time to go. So they took him, and I went out around the place where we were, the people that witnessed his execution, had a little rail about so high, and it went across here like this, and we were standing right behind that rail. And there weren't very many people in there, probably 10, not over 15 or 20. And I was standing right there by that rail. And he was about like this. I was here, and he was on that gurney right there, just about where the edge of that platform is, that close to me. And they use an IV, they had him all strapped in and ready, so all they had to do was throw the switch, and when they do it, you can hear it, it's loud. And it's loud on purpose. And you can see the first vial begins, then the next vial begins, and then as those come down the line, you can watch that. Hmm. I'm standing there. And the warden of that penitentiary was a very good friend of mine, and a born again, Holy Ghost baptized warden. And he's strong man in God. And his ministry as warden of that penitentiary was what opened up the Texas prison system to our ministry, and today, in a major, major way, our ministry is in every Texas unit. So anyway, he said, Stephen, do you have any words you'd like to say at this time? Well, now, he's strapped down. All he can do is raise his head up like this. And he is this way, and all the people are over here. And he raised up as far as he could. He said, yes, I do. Thank you, sir. He said, let me tell you something. He said, if you've never made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, or if you've never received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, I'm going to tell you right now, without Jesus and without the Holy Ghost, you don't have anything. If you can imagine, think about what he can do with you if he could do what he's done with somebody like me. My God, he said, this is, and he just went there preaching. I mean, he preaching. And finally, Warden Harvey came over there next to him. He said, Stephen, I hate to interrupt this, son, but we got business to take care of here. He said, oh, yes, sir. God bless all of you. And laid back down on that gurney. Well, when they threw the switch on this thing, he turned around there and looked at me. And he's tied down. Hold it.
His grace was sufficient.
Not just one. Two thumbs up.
Hallelujah.
More than enough.
Glory to God.
More than enough.
Thank you, Lord. Isn't that great? Praise the Lord.
More than enough. Grace has no limit.
That's right. You know, Texas is a state that's been very good to let the gospel be preached just about unhindered in there.
Yeah.
I mean, we've had auditoriums full of prisoners to preach to. And I went down to talk to the girls on death row. At that time, there were about five of them. They let them come in. They let them out. They let them come in. You know, we were sitting around talking. I was sharing some things with them. There were, I believe there were five at that time, and next to me was an elderly woman, gray hair, looked like a grandmother. She's really very kind. I thought her husband probably came home drunk one night, and she just had too much, and she did him in, because she was so sweet. But now she's a born-again person, you know. She's, I don't
a
know.
A real
she was,
Bible student. I mean, she
all
was
those
really,
girls were
really.
Serious about God. And so I was thinking that's probably what happened. It's just too much. She killed him. She did him in. And now she's paying the price for it. Come to find out. And she was sweet, kind, lovely. But she'd been born again. She wasn't that same old woman. Come to find out, she'd killed three husbands. She cut them up and buried them under a tree. So she didn't used to be so sweet.
Well,
but now she's born again.
Carla Faye Tucker.
Carla Faye was there that day.
Carla Faye made the news big time. She was the first woman to be executed in a lot of time. And everybody was up in arms because Governor Bush didn't turn her execution over and all that kind of thing. But they neglected to talk to Carla Faye about it. The news media did. She didn't want it turned over. She said, I've been waiting this long to see Jesus, and I don't want nobody messing with it now. So, but
Faye
Carla Faye, they called her the axe killer because she buried an axe up in some fella's body, and they arrested her. And while she was when she was to go to trial in the county jail in Houston, Texas, a jail preacher got Carla Faye born again and filled with the Holy Ghost and got her over on the Word of God. And she then got on the Word of faith through our ministry and several other ministries. And she became not only a Bible student, but a Bible teacher. And everybody that came on the death row after Carla Faye became an inmate on death row, she got every one of them that ever came in there born again and filled with the Holy Ghost. And she taught the Bible in prison. The second time you went down there to see them, they invited me to come. And women's death row was just about the size of this entire stage complex here. And they could come out of their individual prison cells out into a little day room that was, not quite large as this stage right here. Well, I was all prepared. Gloria was all prepared. We were going to go in there and minister to them and preach to them and pray with them and so forth. And we were scheduled to spend most of the day in there with these women inmates on death row. When we got there, they had the place all decorated. They had Bible verses all over the room. They brought us in there and they all ran over and grabbed us and hugged us and set us down in a couple of chairs. And they began to, they put on a program for Gloria and me. I tell you, they went on and on. And they had skits. They preached messages. They gave their testimonies. And Gloria and I just sitting here with our eyes wide open. We got ministered to that day. I tell you, it is like going to a Brother Hagin camp meeting back there years ago. I mean, I left there refreshed. I left there on fire for God. Hallelujah. Bunch of the meanest women that the state of Texas had ever seen.
They used to be. They were.
But not anymore.
But not anymore.
Why? Those old women died. Mm-hmm. Now here's the scripture. While Gloria was ministering, and she alluded to this, but here's the scripture talking about any man that is in Christ is a new creation.
Yes.
Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new, and all things are of God. And he who knew no sin was made to be sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. All of that's the grace of God. All of it was paid for by the blood of Jesus. Now, Colossians chapter 1, verse 12. Giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us able to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Who? God. Who has, past tense, who has delivered us from the power and authority of darkness, and has translated us into the kingdom,
yes,
of God's dear Son.
Praise.
In whom we have redemption through his blood, even
back
the forgiveness of sin.
No matter what is going on in the world, recession, devastation, family trouble, disease, believers have a tool at their side that can change everything. Prayer. God always answers prayer, and he desires that we be people whose prayers get results. How to Get Your Prayers Answered 10-Day Spiritual Action Plan, the latest Lifeline kit from Kenneth Copeland Ministries, is an easy-to-use collection designed to help you learn how to pray with confidence and stop all doubt. It has Kenneth Copeland Ministries' most comprehensive book on the subject of prayer and is filled with practical steps, scriptures to stand on, and thought-provoking devotional questions. This Lifeline kit also contains a CD of prayers that Kenneth and Gloria Copeland prayed just for you, faith and action cards to carry with you or share with others, worship songs to keep your heart and mind focused, and a bonus teaching DVD of strong word-based messages. Your life will change when you know the keys. Renew your mind and discover how to get your prayers answered today. Order the newest volume in our best-selling Lifeline series, How to Get Your Prayers Answered by Kenneth and Gloria Copeland, for just $19.99. Whether you're new to prayer or want to power up your quiet time, this will move you from the basics to being a world-changing prayer warrior. For an additional product discount and 48-hour processing, order your Lifeline kit online. For more ministry resources available to you from Kenneth Copeland Ministries, go to kcm.org.
Now, the message you saw today came from a recent healing school, and while Gloria Copeland, my grandmother, was teaching, the Lord spoke to Brother Copeland specifically about forgiveness, and this is what you heard. There is no sin too big or too bad that God's grace cannot cover it. There is no limit to the grace of God. Now, you heard that testimony, and one of the things I want to draw to your attention today was that man heard the voice of the Lord. He heard that that was his last chance to receive Jesus as his Savior. And do not miss this opportunity today. If you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, do not let this pass you by. Just like it was Stephen Moran's last chance, he did the right thing and he responded. Don't you dare let this opportunity pass you by. God loves you, and he's waiting on you to simply receive his love. This very well may be the most important thing you ever do in your entire life. If you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, I want you to stop what you're doing right now and pray this very simple prayer after me. Say, Father, in Jesus' name, I come to you and I ask you to forgive me of all my sin. I confess with my mouth and I believe in my heart that Jesus is Lord. He is your Son. He died and he rose again just for me. Jesus, be the Lord of my life. Take my life and do something with it. In Jesus' name, amen. Now listen to me. If you prayed that very simple prayer with me, if you did that for the first time in your life, then today I want you to know you have been forgiven. All your sins have been washed away and the blood of Jesus now stands for you and you have a brand new life in God. You've been delivered from the power of darkness and now you are born again. Now listen, I know you've got questions. You've got questions about what's going on in you and what's just taken place in your life. And we want to help answer some of those questions. We have a little book called He Did It All For You. And along with that, we want to send you this brochure called How to Study the Bible. Take some time, contact Kenneth Copeland Ministries, and let us know what took place in your life today. And when you do, just simply request this book and this brochure, request this salvation package, and these things will help you get started in this brand new walk with Jesus. And that's exactly what it is. It is a walk of faith with Jesus. We rejoice with you. All of heaven rejoices with you. This is an outstanding day in your life. Praise God. Now listen, don't miss next Sunday's broadcast as Brother Copeland will be back to share with you how to live in God's freedom every day of your life. Praise God. This is Jeremy Pearson's reminding you, God loves you and we love you and Jesus is Lord.
Thank you for joining us on the Believer's Voice of Victory. If you made Jesus Christ the Lord of your life today, Kenneth and Gloria Copeland welcome you to the family of God. They would like to send you some free information to help you get started in your new life in Christ. Request your free salvation package on our website at kcm.org. A book, He Did It All For You, and a brochure on how to study your Bible. When you walk by faith, everything is going to be all right. Come to a Kenneth Copeland Ministries event. The Branson Victory Campaign, March 8th through the 10th with Kenneth and Gloria Copeland at Faith Life Church in Branson, Missouri. Living Victory West Coast Faith Encounter, Anaheim, California with Kenneth Copeland and Dr. Stephen and Kelly Swisher. Dates to be announced. Celebrate 30 years in Europe at the Europe Victory Campaign, May 10th through 12th with Kenneth and Gloria Copeland at the Excel Center in London, UK.